Imagine a vast, waveless ocean, stricken and dead and turned to ashes. Imagine this solemn waste tufted with ash-dusted sagebrushes. Imagine the lifeless silence and solitude that belong to such a place. There's not the faintest breath of air stirring. There's not a merciful shred of cloud in all the brilliant firmament. There's not a sound, not a sigh, not a whisper, not a buzz or a whir of wings or a distant pipe of a bird, not even a sob from the lost souls that doubtless people the air.
On the salt flats, every shot is the same. The ball sits on a stiff white carpet of salt crystals, so you tee it up and hit the driver. The ball flies off toward the mountain and then drops and disappears into the lake. It looks like the shore of the Great Salt Lake, but it's a mirage. You walk toward the shot, and the shoreline stays 100 yards in front of you. The ball is always there, sitting on a stiff white carpet of salt crystals, so you tee it up and hit the driver. And so on for miles and miles and miles. The mountain in the distance is called Floating Island. Up high there are animals, trees, and fish, but down here, nothing. No rocks or bushes, no ditches. There are no real hazards, except for the bombing range, which is big but easy to avoid, and the mental hazard of being spooked by the emptiness. It can make you feel uncomfortable, but then it can also improve your concentration on the ball. It's obvious no one would live out here, and yet people do live out here.
I'm John Conrad. We're in the Eskdale community.
Why did your group come to the desert?
Well, one of the writings said to go into the land of the earth and to build a place in an effort to live together, all things common, similar to Acts 2. So there's, in the community, no one really owns anything, but we all own it. Of course, personal items, clothes, those kinds of things are owned by the people. But cars, houses, all those things are really commonly owned.
Well, can you tell me about the man who founded this faith community?
There's a fellow named Maurice Glendenning. He came to Utah in the late 20s, and he had received revelations from an angel. In fact, it began as a boy, he'd just hear music, and then a voice stood out in a choir. And, you know, this went on over years as he was growing up. Finally, he could hear the voice, and he wrote down what the voice was saying. And these revelations that he wrote, everyone said they were demonic, which, of course, they're not. But we do believe that the Lord, through angels, through inspiration, many other means, continues to speak to people.
Well, briefly, can you just tell me what's going to happen tonight? What is it going on tonight?
Well, we're just going to perform the Messiah.
This is Granite Ranch. I'm Keith Allred. I guess the original name given to the people believing polygamy would be fundamentalist, but socially, if that was practiced and practiced in a godly manner, not after lust or to benefit man's desires or stuff like that, you wouldn't have harlotism, you wouldn't have abortions, you wouldn't have society in the way you have it today in a whoremonging type lustful society. And it takes care of the widow, the orphan, it takes care of an unmarried woman, it gives a woman an opportunity that she can choose a good man, not setting up any man that he's a better than another man or something like that, but it sets it up that a woman can have a righteous head or a righteous leader. And I think if you would look through the world today, they're far and few. I mean, if you just use the 10 Boy Scout rules, most men come far from reaching that.
Well, my name is Cecil Garland, and I live in Callio, Utah. on the edge of the salt desert. We are in the process here in the United States, we have already, in fact, recreated the fall of Rome. Little doubt can be had in that regard. We've lost control of our money, we've lost control of our borders, we've lost control of our courts. Our courts are travesties, and if you want justice anywhere in this country, don't expect ever to find it in the courts. They are a farce, they're a travesty. And the founding fathers of our nation who tried to create something new and different, something that would that the world could behold and cherish and keep, would come back to this country and go absolutely nuts.
The first white men came to this desert in the 1820s looking for beaver and the Rio Buenaventura, the river they thought connected the Great Salt Lake with the Pacific Ocean. They came in young, on horseback. A few weeks later, they staggered out, having eaten their horses, having abandoned their friends, having forgotten their own names. Their reports were full of horrors. There are no beaver, there is no river, everywhere the water just disappears into the ground. The Indians live like animals, their houses nothing more than hovels made from little sticks, their clothes made from the same sticks, food, whatever they pick up off the ground, insects, lizards, rats. Like dogs, they hunt without weapons. They're all witches. They can charm animals into their camp by beating a drum and dancing. Captain Howard Stansberry of the U.S. Corps of Topographical Engineers, the first white man to walk around the Great Salt Lake, said, "These Indians are the most degraded savages, and their country is entirely worthless."
You know what that means?
I think you said, "I'm Mitch, and we're standing behind the store, and this is my brother."
No, I said, waiting for the mail to come in.
White people don't not even hurry.
White people don't hurry up, I said. And here, the mail's already here.
So, what are you going to do this afternoon?
I'm going to Wendover this afternoon. Got to cash his check and got some big tits I want to go see, too.
Dancers?
No, Dolly Parton.
No, girlfriend.
You know Dolly Parton, don't you?
I don't know her. Is she in Wendover?
Mm-hmm. Second Dolly Parton.
So, do you guys gamble?
Oh, yeah, bet.
What do you mean, bad?
You bet, I said.
You bet, or it's...
We play blackjack.
And do you win or do you lose?
Black.
Lose every time, just like donating money.
Well, why do you do it then? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because we got the money and we just want to go have fun.
You don't care.
As long as I fill up my gas tank and I end up making back home.
You don't care if you save your money?
That I cannot answer. I don't know about that.
What do you mean? You don't know about it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We go down to Wendover just to have fun, see? If not, we just stick around here.
What do you do for fun around here?
Look for a few. Looking for some women's, but there's nothing around here. All those girls are related to us around here, so we have to go all the way to Wendover. Or if not Wendover, we go all the way to Wells or Donna's. Donna's Hacienda.
You never talk to any Indians up above?
Hey, Scott, I'm going to go over to the store. I'm going to take him over. See, he could cash a check, then I'll come back over, huh?
All right.
Because I don't know. You might have to give us a jump because my truck kind of acting up.
All right. See what happens.
No, I'm waiting for you. No, wait.
In 1941 and 42, the Army and the Air Force took more than 2,000 square miles of this desert for bombing ranges and work with biological and chemical warfare. And the land changed, not just the 2,000 square miles, the whole desert. It changed from being considered worthless to being considered to have value in its worthlessness. It offered open space and absolute silence. What better place to drop bombs and spread disease and poison? At the Dugway Proving Grounds in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, Army and CIA personnel tested aerial and ground dispersions of nerve agent, dangerous viruses, the microbes that cause anthrax, plague, as well as the hallucinogens LSD and BZ. You may remember the nerve gas accident in 1968 that killed 6,000 sheep. By some estimates, one-third of Dugway's 1,000 square miles is contaminated and will be off-limits forever. All the tests are now done indoors under very anxious safety regulations.
This is a Class 3 glove box. Remember, there were three types of safety cabinets. This is the highest level, and it's a, you can see there are glove ports. It's totally sealed up when it's in operation, and they test it with Freon to make sure there's no leaks. This is where we do our aerosol work inside of here. So we have three layers of containment. The room is a layer of containment. The chamber is a layer of containment. And then the aerosol itself is actually inside that aerosol system, inside the Class 3 glove box.
Inside of what?
This plexiglass box. That's where the aerosol is contained.
Can you run through for me?
Yersinia pestis attenuated strain. Coxiella urbanetti, which causes Q fever. Bacillus subtilis variety Niger, which is a simulant. MS2 colophage, which is a viral simulant that doesn't cause disease. Botulinum toxin, which causes botulism. Staphylococcus enterotoxin B, which causes the food poisoning that's common from eating potato salad that's been left at room temperature. And T2 toxin. I think I got them all
yellow
now.
Yellow fever? Is that one? No.
I didn't say yellow fever.
Is there yellow fever here?
I don't believe so.
You don't believe so?
No, I don't believe so.
Cholera?
Vibrio cholerae?
Yeah, is there cholera here?
How do you mean here?
Is there?
Do we have samples of cholera in the building? That's correct.
How about anthrax?
Bacillus anthracis?
Yes.
It's an organism that causes a serious illness. And there is treatment. There is a vaccine for it, which appears to be very effective. And there is treatment for anthrax. But once again, we use attenuated strains when we can. And we actually have a very good simulant for anthrax. So we don't use anthrax all that often.
So there's treatment for anthrax.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is it's safe and the public shouldn't worry.
I'd recommend that you come to the Citizens Advisory Committee for Dugway testing meetings.
I didn't go to the Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, but I did climb to the top of Deseret Peak, 1,000 feet above timberline. It was a clear day, just after a storm, and the air was cold like a trout stream. Snowy peaks 100 miles in the distance seemed to be within my reach. Down below, I could see the smooth, sloping basin floors of alkaline mud and sagebrush. To the west, I could see lines laid out on the Dugway Valley, some lines in a grid pattern, others in concentric circles, targets for bombing practice. To the southwest, the Rush Valley, where there are rows and rows of small concrete bunkers, like little houses in a suburban neighborhood. This is where the Army stores chemical nerve agent, enough to kill every living thing on the planet. You get just a tiny bit of this stuff on your skin or in your lungs, and pretty soon you notice some difficulty breathing. Then you begin to slobber and drool, then you urinate, defecate, and fall down on the ground and writhe about in convulsions until you go into a coma and die. The Army is now building an incinerator to destroy this poison, and it's none too soon either, as the containers inside the bunkers have started to leak. To the east, I could see the Tooele Valley, home of the Tooele Army Depot, where habitual dumping of toxic and hazardous solvents has polluted a large aquifer. And beyond Tooele, farther east, the Kennecott Copper Smelter. Kennecott has also polluted an aquifer, one that could have supplied drinking water to 50,000 people a year. To the north, I could see MagCorp, a magnesium plant, spewing a long plume of chlorine gas into the air. And to the northwest, the West Desert Hazardous Industries Area, a special 100-square-mile plot of land set aside for incinerators and landfills. This is how we use this desert. It's all planned and carried out by committees, commissions, concerned citizens, people who live and work here, people who want the best for their community. They didn't start the Second World War. They don't produce the hazardous waste that they burn and bury. When bad stuff happens, it has to go somewhere. So why not here, to this place, that we consider to be soulless, empty, and dead? Former Twilla County Commissioner, now Justice of the Peace, William Pitt.
I think Twilla County is an excellent place because of the vastness of the area and the small population. The water is as thick you could cut it with a knife. You'd never be able to use it for any purpose. And the land is virtually useless for anything else. We went in there. It's a viable business. It's been went through the scrutiny of the EPA, the state health department. It's had ample opportunity for people to come in and show us where it's dangerous through public hearings. Nobody ever did. They come in with a lot of stuff, but it wasn't viable stuff. It was a lot of stuff they've taken from environmental issues, environmental clubs, environmental societies, Greenpeace, that this thing was a hazard to the people, but no scientific data that was approved by what government standards are. And that is what we had to go by, was government accepted standards of the health, safety, and welfare of the people in Twilla County, state of Utah, United States. Now the cry of the environmentalists throughout Utah that we was making it a waste capital of the United States, we are part of the United States.
This is Orrin Miller. I'm a historian. We're standing at Pioneer Park. This location is situated near where the first pioneers settled in October 1849. You can see what a beautiful area it is.
Well, let me ask you this. How old are you now? 70?
83.
You're 83, okay. Have you lived here all your life?
Lived here, born 1908, lived here all my life.
All right. You've seen Twilla go from kind of a farming community, I guess there was some mining when you were a little kid, right, at the smelter up here, mm-hmm, to a county that houses a lot of dangerous chemicals and ammunition.
And hazardous waste.
Hazardous waste, bombs. There's a bombing range over there. Right. It's had a number of industries that have polluted the environment, right? So that now there are millions of dollars being spent to clean it up.
That's by the military.
Right, and so
the military is spending that money.
Right, but what I'm wondering is, do you regret that? Do you regret the military coming in here and turning Twilla County into that kind of a place? I mean, it must have been really beautiful and completely clean and pure back when you were a boy.
That's right, except there wasn't any jobs for the young people. Huh. So we don't regret that. That Twilla Army Dump was a boon to Twilla, provided jobs for our youngsters. Huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You think those are good things to have?
Yes,
in the community?
Yes, definitely.
Huh. 15,000 years ago, this desert was underwater. The Bonneville Salt Flats are the residue of an inland sea the size of Lake Michigan, 1,000 feet deep. Geologists say the lake comes and goes, and that one of these days, maybe 10,000 years from now, my house on a hillside in Salt Lake City will be beachfront property. I'll be looking forward to that. Meanwhile, we'll just go on using this desert as a national garage, our national basement. Of course, environmentalists say that's a mistake, a misuse of the land. Maybe it is. But there is one advantage to treating this place like a basement. People think it's a creepy place, and hardly anyone comes out to visit. The result is that the animals that live here, mountain lion, elk, antelope, close to 400 species of birds, they're really wild. One morning I saw a golden eagle eating a rabbit on the road going down Skull Valley. He wouldn't move from my car. I parked 20 yards away from him, and he just kept eating, tearing off muscle and viscera, throwing it back down his throat, and looking at me with an unafraid, innocent, and vicious curiosity. Where would that look go if we turned this desert into an official wilderness area and filled it with backpackers? My suggestion is, let's turn this desert into an endless golf course for the Japanese. They're crazy about the game, but don't have room for it at home. We could rent them golf carts, sell them refreshments, and drive everyone into Wendover to party and gamble at night. Why not? Yeah, hit it!